Hey, 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 what's going on, everybody? You're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast. This is episode 22, April 2016. All right, let's get into it.
This podcast is brought to you guys by our brand new sponsor, Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes. Yay, yay, we love Mighty Fine, we love Mighty Fine. And we certainly do love Mighty Fine. They're a Austin-based burger joint. They got five locations across the Austin area, one of which is their brand new food truck. I think eventually we're going to do a remote podcast from the food truck. But they make what they call the classic Texas burger. It is phenomenal. You go in, you can look through the window, watch them sort of pack the patties. They're starting with fresh ground meat. All right, none of that frozen stuff. They're there cutting potatoes. Crinkle-cut french fries, folks. Crinkle-cut french fries. I highly recommend it. And you can support them because they're supporting the podcast you love so much by visiting one of their Austin locations. Ask them about the locals menu. Just a little secret there. You can find out more at mightyfineburgers.com.
All right, so we're doing something different this month. If you can't tell, we are not in the studio. We're just here in the Day Tripper World headquarters.
I love it. And right about now, someone from Mikey V's Hot Sauce is going to walk through.
You just gave out our secret location.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. No, that's that's kind of funny. If the giant jackalope wasn't obvious enough, I think the word's getting around. But anyway, we are here at the Day Tripper World headquarters.
She said somebody from the local antique store.
Yes.
7 on the square.
No, I'm just picking. All right, but we got also a unusual cast of characters here with us. A couple new voices. Well, one new again because it's been a long time since she's been on this podcast. But Lindsay Tutt here to my left. Also got Todd White.
Yo.
Y'all know him well. And then Kerry Cannon, another new member of the Day Tripper team.
Hey.
And Daniel Meese.
Hello.
Very good. Very good.
Hello, my name is Daniel.
All right. So for the new people, let's introduce yourselves. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Lindsay. I was an intern here, but they liked me so much they hired me.
She was the best intern we've ever had.
Making me blush.
Awesome. We apologize to all our former interns listening to this. Todd is biased. Todd's very biased. So are all of us, though, truthfully. Yes, but born in?
Texas.
Raised in?
Fort Worth.
Okay.
Texas.
No, went
Texas,
to school
all
in.
Texas.
Went
Fort
to school in.
Abilene.
There you go. And this is the random question. Your favorite part of Texas is?
The hill country.
Ah, that's why she lives there now. Why?
Because I grew up in Dallas, and it's a great place to live, but there's not very much. I'm sorry. I grew up in Fort Worth.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's a nice
Do you take offense when people just lump it all together?
You know, we do. So I'm sorry.
It's collective. Yeah, don't tell the Fort Worth people you're from Dallas.
So
they're from Dallas.
Yeah. I grew up in Fort Worth. It's a great place to live, but it's not as pretty as the hill country. There's like trees and water and nature here.
You're digging yourself into a hole right now. You've already offended your
your
homeland.
Fort Worth, but hill country is really pretty.
Her heart is in the hill country. We're glad to have facilitated your move here, Lindsay. All right, Kerry, what about you? Introduce yourself.
Hey, my name is Kerry. I'm new to the team. I kind of came in blind in a way.
completely
really
blind. That's true.
Everything that happened to like myself, but these have been some awesome folks that have taught me the method of day tripper.
What do you call folks?
Trial by fire. It's like, hey.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's been a blast so far, and I'm excited to be part of the team.
Born where?
I was born in Austin.
Raised where?
Raised in Austin.
And now you live in?
I'm a local.
He is a true local.
Working in Georgetown. Still in Austin, so.
Yeah, that's another thing. Don't call us Georgetownians, Georgetowners, whatever, Austinites. Yeah. Well, good. It's been awesome to have you as part of the team. And Kerry is one of our production guys. He's a editor, a camera guy, does all kind of production stuff. Lindsay over here is one of our new writers on the team. So it's been awesome having you guys. So as far as the question for the gang, what have y'all been up to since our last podcast last month?
Well.
Yeah, we'll start with you, Lindsay. Go.
Since last month, I've been writing a lot of stuff.
I think last month you were actually at the podcast location with us, but we were not giving you a microphone. You were sort of
Actually, you may have recognized my breathing from the first ever podcast. I was an intern, and they let me sit in the room. But now they let me talk because they've hired me. So, yeah.
Okay, well, what about what you got to do last week, though? Because it was like a super fan's dream come true.
Oh, yeah.
You got to share that.
Waco? Come on, Lindsay. Waco, was it that memorable? Oh, really?
Wow. And she calls herself a super fan.
Okay, wait. So last week, I got to travel to Waco and just spend the day exploring Waco with travel books and being fun stuff. Like, I don't know.
It was Lindsay's assignment. This is a pretty good assignment. It was go to Waco, use every travel book we have, and tell me how bad they suck. Essentially.
No. I actually came back and was like, they're so great. I love it. Was
no,
awesome.
Not Waco. The city, not Waco. The books.
I was like, why are you saying
not
that?
Waco. We love Waco.
Yeah, we were looking at the books and they all were horrible.
Yeah, they all, you know, they're good and bad in some regards.
I didn't
but
get lost, so it worked out.
We're really on a roll, like, offending all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I know, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, that is interesting, though. You took the book on Hawaii with you?
It was wishful thinking.
It was, yeah. That one probably didn't come in that useful.
I can to Hawaii.
There was some water there.
In Waco.
I mean, so.
Where's the Loco Moco? I want the only Loco Moco in Waco. Loco Moco in Waco. It's a good name for a food truck or something.
Loco.
Waco Loco Moco? Something like
next
that?
Our next project. We'll work on food truck.
food truck.
How about a coffee truck called Loco Moco?
Oh, Todd, ad guy there. Little madman, little madman action on that one. All right, so Waco trip.
It was awesome.
Hanging out here.
Yeah.
Batman, Superman, did you see that yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. You were talking about that for like all month, so I assumed you'd seen
it
by now.
I'll continue talking about it until I see it.
Okay.
I'll talk about it some more.
Yeah.
Awesome. I don't think that movie got good reviews at all.
It didn't, but you know what? It still has Batman and Superman, so what more do you want?
I'm sorry, but Batman is Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton is Batman.
I'm in it for Superman. No, I'm in it for Superman.
Hey, man. George Clooney was the best Batman, hands down. Let's all...
Ooh.
Kidding. Kidding. Joking. All right, Todd, what about you?
So, we've been doing some filming. We went to Richmond.
That's right.
Played with some alligators. That was always fun. Watching Chet morph into a new character. So, stay tuned for the Richmond episode. Anyway, and a lot of photo shoots. So we're getting ready for Fashion Week coming up, Boston Fashion Week.
You were nutso for South By.
Oh, gosh. South By was crazy.
Yeah.
I've got a client 4 years in a row now that I shoot with their private parties, so it's fun.
That's cool.
I'm a little bit of a buffer Theo South By. I'm not out there in the hordes of people all the time. I get to go to these private parties.
The good life. Seeing South By from the suites. The suite level seats.
Pretty glamorous.
Very glamorous. Very glamorous.
It's nice.
Carrie, what about you?
So, yeah, I've been here, of course, coming in blind, like, just taking it all in. Like, we have, like, a bunch of different projects we're working on right now, of course. So it's like, okay, hey, so as soon as you're done, anything happened, move to this. And then can you go back to that and then do this? And so it's kind of been a lot of, like, hey, do you know how to do this? Do this. And, hey, can you... I like it, though, because, you know, forget the instruction manuals and all that. We just kind of get right into it and do what we
can. You just hop in the race car and see how you can drive it.
I mean, it's been a lot of fun for that. So if your ADD kicks in, it's fun to play with that.
Truly. Truly. Gone anywhere on the weekends at all, or, like, decompressing because the job at work is so stressful?
It's not been too much.
It's all new, all exciting.
Too much. Yeah, give him more
projects.
You're still in the honeymoon phase, just wait.
All right, well, you know, okay.
Hey, that's good.
Let me tell you what I did.
Daniel did something super awesome.
I did something crazy. So I have some friends that live up in Roscoe, Texas, and pretty close to Sweetwater. They had the Rattlesnake Festival, Rattlesnake Roundup. It was amazing. I've never been to one before, and I had no idea what to expect. And I gotta tell you, it was crazy.
So what exactly happens at the Rattlesnake Roundup?
Okay, so Rattlesnake Roundup, basically what they do is all the farmers in the area, and not just farmers, but they send out people to go collect rattlesnakes, because apparently this is like the rattlesnake capital of the country, if not the world. Like, it's ridiculous. You walk everywhere, there's rattlesnakes on the ground. It's dangerous. And they repopulate the area. So they get them all, at least a bunch. They limited themselves this year. They could only accommodate up to 25,000 pounds of rattlesnakes. So they capped it off because they utilize the rattlesnakes with everything they do. So what they do is they bring them in, they get the venom, they milk them, and they can make anti-venom with it. So when somebody does get bit, you know, they're able to use that. They skin them. They use the skins for everything you've ever seen. Snake skin is pretty much coming from this. I mean, tons of rattlesnake skins. Then they also do, like, taxidermy stuff. So you see the snake stand up, you put it in your office, all that. And cool. Then I didn't get to try it, but they had fried rattlesnake.
Ooh.
I wanted to. It wasn't that I didn't want to. It was that the line was 3 hours long.
Yeah, I'll pass.
It was a, yeah. I've had it once before.
Of, like, just all rattlesnake meat. Oh, man. I mean, there's so many different diets nowadays, you probably wouldn't surprise anyone.
That's right. The pure rattlesnake diet.
Some of the videos you brought back were pretty cool.
Yeah, I took a couple videos, you know, hanging my daughters into a rattlesnake pit. No, not really. But I got them as close as they wanted to get. They had a window on the side of these pits with literally hundreds, if not a few thousand, rattlesnakes.
If you're a snakeophobe, it's terrifying.
You don't want to go here if you're afraid of snakes, period. When we walked in, I thought there was like a little waterfall somewhere in the place, and I got closer and realized that was the rattles.
Just
non-stop. It sounded like rushing water. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 all at once. So crazy, crazy. But it was a fun time. They had a big gun show there. They had a big carnival. All kinds of stuff.
It's like their big annual festival, right? They pull out all the stops.
I can't imagine they do anything bigger in Sweetwater, Texas. It was huge for any town, especially for Sweetwater. So
that needs to be like on Texas bucket list. They take a lot of flack. There's people who hate those things, but to think that those rattlesnakes are out there, like on the on the farms, and there's that many of them that can just go out and be found instantly.
Right. Well, I see why some people could potentially have issues with it. You know, however, rattlesnakes can be a big issue if you live out in the country. If you live up in an urban town, urban environment, you have no idea. You don't want to let your kids just go out on a farm and just play around out in the fields. You have no idea what's out there. And I do like that they limit how much they can accommodate based on how many people are going to come and what they're going to do with it. So
it's kind of like setting the limits on number of deer people can kill.
Absolutely.
Like, we're going to set the limit here. That way there's still a population. No one's trying to wipe out the rattlesnake population.
Definitely
not. They're definitely good for a lot of reasons.
They're part of the ecosystem, but in smaller numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, one thing to jump to me. Enough about you guys. No, sorry guys. Sorry.
Tell us, what have you done?
No. Dude, I didn't let you finish. Anything else? I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, yeah, I got a million things, but it's your turn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is something I did with you. This is something I did with you.
Sure.
Daniel and Richie and I got to go to Phoenix to watch spring training, baseball spring training. So it was it's the Cactus League that happens out there. 15 major league teams go to Phoenix. They do their spring training. And I underestimated how much fun it is out there. I mean, part of it was cool. I mean, we were working, so sort of like, did we get the shot? How much more do we need? But, like, I got to go back either next year or the year after, because every team gets their own home stadium, so they try to recreate the experience, and they bring in, like, the food and the beer. So if you're in San Francisco, you're drinking Anchor Steam beer. If you're at the Giants stadium, and then if you're watching the Chicago White Sox at their stadium, they're bringing in Chicago hot dogs. So the hot dogs with the pickle and the celery salt and all that. Whoever sells them at the stadium is in Phoenix selling them there. We got to go to two different stadiums. I wish we could have gone to whatever it was, all 15.
All of them.
Because
amazing.
The Rangers do it out there, and I was curious what they bring in from Arlington for the Rangers experience. Like, if they've got, like, they're making, I don't know, brisket sandwiches or Nolan Ryan hot dogs or whatever it is, you know?
Whatever it was, I probably would have gone with the others just because of the experience, though, because that's just so cool. Nobody expects to go there, see San Francisco play, but at the same time, not just have, like, here's some food, like what they have.
Yeah.
It is the person who works in their stadium came here with their food. It is awesome.
It's in, like, in one city, you can visit, you know, 10, 15 major league stadiums right there.
It's like you know, tripping around the country in one little place.
I know. That was awesome.
Very
so
cool.
We made a video for Best Western that'll be online shortly, if not already. They've got it, and so check their channels. Then also, Todd mentioned Richmond. The coolest thing there was seeing the alligators on these trails. And then we'll do more in the behind-the-scenes thing. But these trails are about, what, 5 feet wide, maybe? A little more, yeah, maybe, 5 to 10
yeah,
feet wide.
It's a normal trail.
A normal trail. But then on both sides, it just plummets off into the bayou. And these alligators would sit up just on the side. And we passed that one. It was probably 8, 9 feet. Like, hissed at us. Like,
yeah.
Got a little too close. But they're everywhere. Like, alligators everywhere.
Did you really think that you would see that many alligators?
No, I thought, like, I was praying that we would see one for camera.
That's what I thought. We just need one on camera.
We just need one for camera. And we can make it exciting.
We saw probably 10 or 12.
Easily. And we didn't do much hiking. We went around one little lake.
And it was interesting because, you know, we're hoping for that one when we get to the little, the nature center.
Yeah.
And someone was like, there's a mom right across the street with babies.
Yep. Yeah.
We didn't even have to go search.
It took us like 2 minutes. Once we got there, we saw 26 alligators in that one spot because of all the babies.
Yep.
That was awesome.
That was crazy.
So Richmond was great. Then, of course, there was Easter, spring break. Got to do a bunch of fun stuff with the family. So cool.
While you've been listening to this podcast, lots of stuff's been going on in the Lone Star State. This is Meanwhile in Texas.
All right, so this is the segment where we all have scrounged the interwebs and pulled up some news story or something crazy that's happening in the Lone Star State. So where are we going to start? Let's start with you, Lindsay.
Okay, so on Texas... And this is very
appropriate for you.
It actually is. Okay.
Of course it is.
So, guys, I learned in Texas highways that glamping is on the rise in Texas. So,
Wait, what is glamping?
Tell us what glamping back is. Up a little bit, explain that.
I don't even know what that
okay,
is.
Okay, so basically, it's like enjoying the outdoors without actually having to go through all of the discomfort of being outdoors. So, like,
camping with AC.
Yeah, it's like camping for Barbie.
Oh, that is not
it's camping pretty awesome. For Barbie. So you'll get like a tent, but it'll be like luxurious, and there's air conditioning and like a bed.
Wait, you said an air conditioner in a tent?
There could be, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
There's like a security system. No bears can break in or like animals.
I'm not sure.
Because there are a lot of bears in Texas.
Sure.
I mean,
lots.
Wi-Fi hotspots.
Yeah.
Like, so this is on the rise. This is on the rise. That's what you
said.
Yeah,
they cited 5 places in Texas that you can go, and so I'll tell you 2 of my favorite. So basically, in Lake Placid, you get a vintage RV for the night and an island to yourself.
So there's an island.
The island shuts down at like 5:30 or 7.
Todd, you can
only
do this.
The people
yeah.
In the RV, you get to stay there. You get an island and RV. Like, how cool is that? And then this is my favorite. You can go glamping in Marfa. Like, ooh, that town's really cool anyway. So they have a bunch of tents or cabins or RVs, and you can just glamp and look at the Marfa.
So the ones
glamp away.
Are they like part of the El Cosmico thing? Or
yeah, they're part of El Cosmico.
Nice.
So I actually went glamping in Marfa. It's in the episode.
I watched that episode.
It was a teepee, which I didn't consider glamping, but it was the fanciest teepee I've ever stayed in. Yeah.
That's considered glamping.
It's much fancier than teepee.
I don't
really
see.
Look,
that's a word that's getting kind of overused. Because what does it really mean? Like, if you're staying in a fixed building, I don't consider that camping at all.
Well, it's not
even glamour camping.
No.
But like, I don't know.
It's not camping either.
Yeah.
I don't consider an RV.
You don't consider that?
Well, okay, you gotta know who you're talking to.
Well,
I go out in a hammock when it's 20 degrees by myself if I have to.
There's no doubt that's awesome. That's camping.
I camp.
No.
Yeah, I camp.
Bring me glamping and
I get it.
Any day. I'll take
see,
camping.
I think an RV with one of those little, you know, canopy things that pop out from the side and all that, that's camping if you're in the middle of nowhere and you gotta...
If
you go to a state park and you have to cook your own food... And you're staying in an RV. I don't know.
If it makes you feel good to call it camping, I say call it camping.
That's hard. That's hard.
I'd say RV.
You could say RVing. Or, yeah. Because they call those campers. We pull a trailer and stay. That's hard. There's a lot. Yeah, now they're called glampers. But I think like those like vintage trailers that are parked permanently and they've got AC hooked up to them.
That's a hotel.
Yeah, that's just a hotel. I wouldn't call that glamping.
You can get a hot tub and you can get a massage.
Yeah, come on.
You can call it whatever you want. Yeah. I'd love to do it.
I think my wife Jordan might actually start camping.
Camping,
now.
Yeah.
She would do that.
If that's the bar for camping, like if that's where we're putting it, then yeah, what woman in America wouldn't?
If you like face the right direction and have the camera at the right angle, it looks like you're outdoors. So you can totally impress everyone.
Yeah, they have shrubbery there, so therefore you're outdoors.
I don't even take my phone when I go camping.
Hashtag camping.
You've got that Instagram right there.
Totally believe it.
But the full face of makeup might give you away.
Although, yes, it'd be pretty silly to, you know.
Man,
glamping.
I don't know.
We need to move on.
I don't know.
That made me sad.
Yeah, that does. I can't just makes me it. Sad.
It makes me happy. I'm excited.
Man, but Todd won't go if there's no Wi-Fi. We learned how miserable he was on the Devil's River without Wi-Fi. Because that was not.
He's whiffy.
Whiffy.
I do, because I wanted to Snapchat my experience and I couldn't.
Oh. What happened to just doing stuff? You don't have to publicize doing stuff. Just do stuff.
Show off to the world, though.
If you don't publicize.
Pics or it didn't happen, right? Pics or it didn't happen. Oh, man.
Tree fall.
Okay, yeah, now I'm just getting more depressed. I'm with Daniel. Todd, what did you find?
So, I thought this was interesting. Cheech. From Cheech and Chong.
Oh, yeah.
I never quite envisioned him as being an art aficionado.
Oh, really?
And such, I mean, he made movies, but he spent most of his time studying in the movies.
Yeah,
that's been his reputation. But lo and behold, he has got this whole art stuff that he's doing. He's got, like, paintings and really kicking a rise out of L.A. in the whole Chicano art scene. And so he is right now has an exhibit going on in Amarillo. But it is a Chicano collection of Cheech Marin.
So, okay.
They're basically saying that most of the time you talk to him, he's a stoner, but when he talks about art, it completely changes.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
And they're saying the best way to actually look at this is think about it as Norman Rockwell meets Jackson Pollock.
Okay. That's
two complete opposite ends of the art spectrum.
Oh, yeah. What I'm wondering is, was he under the influence when he was creating his art?
I don't know. But it was just one of those random stories that caught my eye. I'm kind of like, Cheech.
I'd go see it.
I mean,
I'd go see it.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Some combo there.
It would be. Might even, I don't know. Anyway.
Good stuff. Cool. Carrie?
Well, I guess while we're talking on that subject of narcotics.
Narcotics.
I guess it's recreational, whatever you want to call it. So,
art enhancing medications.
On March 25th, actually, that's a recent thing. It looks like Texas Gay Wardens uncovered a large narcotics stash in South Padre Island. They found more than 900 pounds of marijuana that was hidden among the sand dunes in South Padre Island.
What?
So, I do apologize for anyone that was hoping to get there in time, but it looks like the Texas Gay Wardens already have it.
Sorry, your stash was found.
Yeah, the stash was
like
found.
A post-spring break, someone left this behind?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's right.
It just says, like, while they were patrolling the coastline between the beach, it was access points 5 and 6.
Okay.
The Gay Wardens noticed a heavy foot traffic leading to the water's edge to the dunes, and they went ahead and took a look themselves, and they found 946 pounds of marijuana that was hidden in the sand dunes. I guess the thousands of people flocking to the island for spring break, and then Semana Santa, it's Holy Week. Texas Gay Wardens have increased their presence in that area, working alongside with the United States Coast Guard and Customs and Border Protection Marine.
Man, so how does that, I'm thinking how that handoff works. A boat pulls up to an abandoned beach in the middle of the night, stashes something, then someone drives, picks it up, and goes. I'm not very good at drug handoffs. I have no experience, in fact.
It sounds like how pirates would stash their bounty.
Yeah.
Their booty.
Hey,
their
booty.
Me. A lot of someone has a map and they're going to go back in a month and be like, well, dang it.
X marks
right
the
there.
Spot.
I know. That's right. Man. Wow. Wow. That's a lot of weed there.
What about you, Daniel?
Well, no weed in my story, unfortunately. However.
Boring.
I know, right? So this couple, do y'all know where Ratcliffe, Texas is? I was trying to look it up. I'm not sure.
I know of Ratcliffe Lake or Ratcliffe, okay. Ratcliffe.
It's called Ratcliffe. So a couple
in East
Texas.
Texas,
they found what they believe is a living chupacabra.
Yes! Living. I've been waiting for this.
So here's the thing, though.
It's a real name.
He was kind of, they would give him corn to eat. He was in a cage. They had him, like, trapped.
So it was their
right?
pet?
Well, no, they only had him for a few days. He was hairless, had huge claws, teeth, ferocious growl.
They
said this has to be the chupacabra. But, and they even named him Chupi. That's what they're
saying. Perfect name.
They started feeding him cat food and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing. He was a little not stable, so they eventually decided we need to euthanize him. So,
of course they did.
Well,
before
the
science could be done.
They do have some pictures, which I've got.
What?
So check this out. We're looking at some pictures right
now. Oh my gosh.
If only you could see.
It's like a mixture of a bear and anteater.
We're going to link, we'll link these pictures in the blog post for this. So get on thedaytripper.com and you can see it. What the heck is that?
Terrifyingly ugly.
I know in the past when they found the chupacabra, it's been like a mangy coyote. Or a mangy raccoon.
Well, and they're
this doesn't quite look like
a mangy raccoon.
Okay, I could see
However,
that.
How is that a raccoon?
You could see, like, picture this. You could picture the sort of bandito mask on it, and like.
Wondering, it kind of makes sense to find this because Ratcliffe is actually in the David Crockett National Forest. So
yeah,
it's in between Lufkin and Crockett.
Yeah, there's a really good swimming hole out there.
Of course there is. You would know that.
There's a lot of weird stuff lurking in the National Forest, man. Those woods can hide a lot of stuff.
I knew that one day they'd find this guy.
Hey.
I knew it.
And now Sasquatch is next. Bigfoot. It has to be found. And then maybe the Yeti is even in Texas.
Hey, I see Yetis in the back of many men
trucks. Yeah, that's right. So they're here.
One day. We'll find a real Yeti.
Man, that's crazy. That is crazy. So, I'll go next. Have you guys, any Spurs fans around here, basketball fans? Have y'all noticed the Spurs are dominating
this year? They're killing.
And they would be the best in the NBA, but for the fact that the Golden State Warriors are having an insanely ridiculous season. But that doesn't.
I wonder why that is.
Gosh. Steph Curry's amazing. But not to discount what the Spurs are accomplishing, because if the Golden State weren't here, the Spurs would be having an epically great season. They've got over 60 wins, but I don't know if it's just because of the talent on the court, because turns out they're also being prayed for every single game by, get this, the Salesian Sisters of St. John Bosco.
Oh, wow.
So there's this group of nuns that are probably the most insane Spurs fans on the planet. They wear Spurs jerseys, they go to games, but if they're not at games, they watch it in sort of their common room, and they said it gets nuts. And if y'all ever been
for them,
they're praying.
That's
and also cheating. Screaming.
That's almost cheating.
Cheating.
We used to play the game Life when we were younger.
Yeah.
One of my cousins, he would always pray. In the game of Life, we were like, there's no praying in the game of Life.
No.
You can't cheat. But the thing was, he'd always win. We're like,
ah!
Start praying.
I guess prayer works. Huh?
Yeah. That has nothing to do with this. No cheating. Well, maybe the Spurs have the upper hand. We'll see how it plays out in the playoffs, because they're definitely going to be in the playoffs.
And the photo of them in the Express News is pretty cool. It's got these three nuns, and they're all bags of Whataburger.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then I found some other ones, like they're all in Spurs jerseys.
Nice.
They've got their stuffed coyotes of good luck that they pet.
These are real fans.
They're insane fans. And supposedly they've become friends with the Spurs because they've made trips to, I guess, a convent or wherever they are and taken pictures with all of them. So Popovich knows the value of having a group of nuns praying for you because he's like encouraging it. Pretty fun. You can see those pictures online. We'll link that news story in the blog post as well.
Awesome.
So, we'll see how it plays out, but it looks like the Spurs have a direct line to God, and they're using it, man. They're using it. Cool. Well, that sort of rounds up meanwhile in Texas. And guys, for this, not only are we recording this episode differently, but we're also doing things different this month. Rather than jump into a bit of main content, we're going to save that for another podcast that we'll release in the middle of the month. But right now, we are going to do our music minute. So let's head over. We got a new guy for you. So everybody just slow down a little bit. Get ready for some smooth and sultry sounds as we jump over to David Munoz of the Sunday Morning Jazz Show on KQXT.
Welcome to another edition of the Texas Music Minute. I'm David Munoz, host of the Sunday Morning Jazz Show on KQXT, Q1019 in San Antonio. You know, one of the things I enjoy doing on my show, in addition to playing great smooth jazz by all the legendary heavyweights in the genre, is playing music by some of San Antonio's best musicians. One of those is a homegrown saxophonist who has won 3 Latin Grammy Awards. His name is Joe Posada. Having started out as a Tejano artist, Joe eventually brought jazz into his repertoire. He plays various jazz festivals and still brings back some songs from his Tejano playlist, too. Joe Posada is also a very talented singer, mixing in several Tejano songs with popular jazz standards. Among other awards that have been bestowed on Joe are 7 Tejano Music Awards, 8 Academy of Tejano Artists and Musicians Awards, and the 2005 Roots Hall of Fame induction. Here's a sample of one of Joe's smooth jazz songs that you can hear on my show on Sunday mornings. It's called Sweet Smoke. You can find Joe Posada music on Baby Dude Records and get more information at joeposada.com. You can email me at davidmunoz@iheartmedia.com.
So for all you guys that have been tired of the bro country, hopefully you like jazz. Because if you don't like bro country, you definitely like jazz.
I went through a jazz phase.
Did you really?
I did.
I bought a Miles Davis CD.
Is he pronounced jazz? Or did you say jazz?
The J is not silent.
It's jazz. I mean, growing up in San Antonio, there's some fantastic jazz in San Antonio. The Jim Cullum Jazz Band, which was like famous and played back in the Billy Graham Swing days and like that. The guy that started the whole Jim Cullum Jazz Band group.
Cool.
They had a cool jazz club down the Riverwalk. In college, I was down there hanging out.
You gotta admire the quality of the instrumentalists. Like, how.
True.
I mean,
those guys that
you don't like jazz music, you can't listen and be like, that's not that great.
That guy doesn't really know how to play.
I mean, these guys are amazing.
I think to play jazz, you have to basically have mastered all the other forms.
I mean, that saxophone sounded amazing.
And then break all those rules that you just mastered.
That's right, just throw them out
the
window.
Just set their own.
Well, here in the Day Tripper and us, we're Texans, so if you're a Texas artist, we love you. And so we're going to try to mix this up a little bit. Maybe go back to some bro country, a little bit of jazz, some indie rock, all across the board. But that was pretty awesome. That was awesome. So,
speaking of like music choices, too, Chet, you've been stuck in this classic country thing on the road the past few times you've been in the car.
Oh, dude.
This XM station you've been on?
Prime Country is the greatest XM station. It took me a while to discover. It was like 80s and 90s country. It's fantastic. Fantastic. And it's the good stuff that we all listen. We didn't realize this, but like growing up, we were in a golden era of country music.
Absolutely.
I think the 90s were a golden era. We had Garth, George was killing it, Tim McGraw, all those songs are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And this station, I think it's called Prime Country, it kills it. But anyway, guys, so that actually concludes our podcast for the day. Thank y'all, hope this was fun. This is actually pretty good.
It was great.
But
fun stuff.
That's right. So anyway, as I throw the pen across the room, remember, guys, y'all can support the show. Thank you for listening, but you can support the show. Get onto the Day Tripper General Store. We got stickers for your car. We got youth shirts that we got up there now, and we're gonna start adding a bunch of other cool stuff. So go to daytrippergeneralstore.com or thedaytripper.com/shop. Just you can go to thedaytripper.com and click on shop. All kinds of stuff up there. But our next episode, we're gonna do something really fun. We're gonna sit down with some of the writers of Texas Monthly for Taco Roundtable.
Oh yeah.
Y'all might have seen that list of 120 tacos you have to eat before you die. Well, we're gonna talk to someone that maybe has eaten all 120 of them.
I think we should do that.
Life goals.
Life goals. Hashtag life goals.
Let's,
We can make up our own. We'll do our 121 tacos that the Day Tripper crew says you have to eat before you die.
Yes.
We'll one up Texas Monthly. But anyway, we'll be joined by some writers over there. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. But anyway, thank you guys. Lindsay, Todd, Carrie, Daniel, thank you very much. Say adios, guys.
Adios.
And vaya con Dios, amigos.
So this podcast has been sponsored by Mighty Fine Burgers, Fries, and Shakes, and I do believe it was a Mighty Fine podcast. I think we'll go eat some Mighty Fine right now. More at MightyFineBurgers.com.